Well, congregation, if you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 again, Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to continue looking at the opening two verses. Once again, we looked at part of this on Good Friday, and we'll look at the remainder of it this afternoon. But we'll read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through to the end of 17 just now. And let us give our attention to the reading of God's own holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. And we'll leave our reading there, and may God bless it to our hearts. Oh, congregation, if you open your Bibles again to the portion of God's Word we read in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And we'll read again verses 1 and 2 as we look this afternoon at the race of faith that we are now called to run in light of all that Christ, our Redeemer, has done in running his race on our behalf. And we read here, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, as I intimated on Friday, I want to return this afternoon to the verses we began to look at then. The verses we've just read, verses 1 to 2 of Hebrews chapter 12. For as we said then, just as the Lord Jesus came into this world, to run the race that was set before him by his father, a race which he ran to its triumphant finish. So we too have a race that we are called to run, a race that is set before us by God, which we are to run with endurance by laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and by now looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I want to look at this race then this afternoon by considering three things about it, which are highlighted for us in these verses. And we'll look in the first place at our successors in this race who have already run the race before us and who have received the prize. Then secondly, we'll reflect on our strategy, which we are called to follow if we want to run this race successfully. And then finally, I want to think about our source of strength for running this race if we're going to persevere all the way to the end of it until we do receive the victor's crown. Well, firstly then, let us consider our successors in this race who have already run the race before us and received the prize. For notice that we're told here in verse 1 that since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we are to now run with endurance the race set before us. And of course, the cloud of witnesses here, it's a reference to the catalogue of Old Testament saints whose lives are commended to us in Hebrews chapter 11, where we read, for example, of Abel and of Noah and of Abraham and Sarah and of others such as Moses and Joshua and Rahab and David, all of the great men and women of faith who are now in heaven, having already begun, run the race and finished it in life. And they're described here then as though they're now watching us from heaven, cheering us onward, willing us to succeed in our race, just like the audience in an Olympic stadium would cheer on the people or the runners in a race. If you see, that's the image that is being used here. Remember, just as many people in our own day love to watch sports events, well, so it was back in the time at which these words were written. For at this time, you may well know, they had three great sports events which took place every year. There were the Olympian Games. They were run at Mount Olympus. And of course, that is where we get the Olympic Games today from. But then there was also the Pythian Games. These were run at Delphi in Greece. And then there were the Isthmian Games, and they were run at Corinth. And these various games, they were staged throughout the year so that those who were rich and the elite of that day, they could go from one game to the other. And the athletes of that day, they were honored and admired, again, very much like in our own day. And they had everything laid at their feet then. If they won the game for their country, their name would be praised. Poetry would be written about them, and oftentimes statues were carved and chiseled out in their honor. And they had the rest of their way through life, their room, their board, their food, all of it was paid for. And even the emperor himself would praise the runner who brought glory and fame to him and to his country. Well, the writer to the Hebrews, he's using this image here of a victorious long-distance runner in a track event at these games to illustrate for you and I a very important spiritual truth. You see, he wants us to recognize that we too are in a race, the race of life, and God wants us to run in this race like a champion. Because you see, there is a prize to be run, to be obtained at the end of it, if we run well. And there are thousands and thousands of others who have already completed the race before us. And they are now, as it were, sitting in the stands all around us, watching us as we now follow in their footsteps to run the same race. And the fact that they have completed the race successfully, they have now received the prize. It's meant to motivate us to press on in it, that we too may cross the finish line. If you see their lives, they serve as an abiding witness to us of the fact that this race is one that is worth running and that it can be completed. And if they could then, they would shout to us from the stands. They would be saying to us, I did it, and so can you. So don't give up. Keep on keeping on. For one day soon you will join our ranks if you persevere to the end. Makes me think, boys and girls, about a little lady I read of who had gone to a high school football game. And she was a very quiet sort of a lady, a sort of lady you would look at and think she wouldn't say boo to a goose. But she was sitting there watching the game, and no one would have noticed her, and she'd not said a word throughout the entire game. But then near the end of the game, there was a fumble in the field, and a little substitute cornerback, little scrawny kid, he picked up the ball, and he started to make his way past the other players toward the goal. And suddenly this little lady, she exploded with excitement. And she jumped to her feet and she said, run, baby, run. You see, it was her boy. And she could be heard over that stadium then, encouraging her son to go for it, to keep on running toward the goal line with that ball. Well, that's what the opening part of this verse here in Hebrews is saying to you and I today, that we're to keep on running toward the goal line. We're not to give up until we reach it. For you see, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who have already crossed that line, who are willing us now to succeed. And so we are to now follow their example by now going on to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, so that we can now run with endurance the same race that is set before us. And that brings us then in the second place to consider the strategy that we are called to follow. We want to run this race successfully all the way to the end. For as any runner in a race knows, there are certain things you must do if you want to run in such a way that you hope to obtain the prize. And the same is true when it comes to the race the Christian has to run, which is why Paul asked the Christians in Corinth the question there in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. When he put the question to them, do you not know that those who run in a race, they all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way then that you may obtain it. And that's why we are given two absolute prerequisites here then in verse 1, which we must carefully adhere to if we want to obtain the prize which awaits all those who complete the race which God sets before them. And the first prerequisite which is here is that of discipline. For we are told to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And what this is telling us is there are certain things in life we must be prepared to get rid of if they are hindering us or slowing us down in pursuing our calling in life as Christians. And they may even be things which are lawful in themselves, but they're just not helpful to us. That's why Paul says in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful or expedient. Now, what does the word expedient mean? Well, think of the related word expedition. What do you think about when you hear that word? Well, you think about a trip or a journey. We see that's what Paul is thinking about when he uses the word here in this verse. Because you see, Paul understood Christians are people who are meant to be going somewhere. They're on a journey. And therefore, anything that doesn't speed them on their way in that journey, it must be set aside. I mean, think of it like this. Take an overcoat, for example. Well, an overcoat is something very useful in itself. But how many sprinters have you ever seen doing the 100-meter dash wearing one? None. Or think about a pair of welly boots. I mean, welly boots are great if you're a farmer. They're not going to serve you very well if you're running a marathon. Well, the same is true for the Christian. There are things which may be perfectly okay in themselves, but if they in any way prevent us from running effectively in this race, this verse in Hebrews is telling us they've got to go. Because as Christians, we're called to have a singular focus and aim in life. And that is to please God, to now live in such a way that we bring the maximum amount of glory and honor to His name. And that means then we should be constantly evaluating our lives, our attitudes, our choices, to ask ourselves, is there anything that I am knowingly allowing in my life that is proving a hindrance to me spiritually? Anything that is keeping me back from becoming all that God wants me to become so that I can run my race well, produce much fruit to His honor and glory? Or are we content to just allow certain things because we're more interested in a life of ease, the pursuit of our own ambitions and purposes in life, because we're more concerned to attain a certain standard of wealth or to be popular in the eyes of others, to just simply go with the flow and fit in with the crowd, than we are to live for God? Well, friends, if that is true, then we need to do some serious soul searching as to where we stand before God. For if a runner in the ancient games was willing to do whatever it took to compete for the prize of obtaining a perishable crown, as Paul goes on to say in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and yet we're not prepared to do the same when we have an imperishable crown set before us, then what does that say about our spiritual condition and our attitude to God and Christ? It's telling us we need to repent. We need to start to get serious about our Christianity. And all of us have things in our lives then that have the potential to hold us back from going on with God. Things, as one commentator says, such as career ambitions, hobbies, associations and friendships, habits and preoccupations, or places and entertainment. And therefore, each of us should take a good look at the things in our lives and honestly ask ourselves before God, Lord, help me to see, is this a help or a hindrance? And if it's the latter, then he says, the wise believer will let it go, not wanting to be weighed down in the race. You see, this race, it requires that we do exercise radical self-discipline if we are to run well, if we're hoping to make any real progress in it. We mustn't simply brush these things off then by saying, well, no one is perfect. For however true that may be, we need to be very careful that we are not in fact trying to excuse or downplay our sin when we say things like that. Because we know deep down in our hearts perhaps there are things we blatantly don't want to lay aside. Well, we all need to hear what is being said here then. For remember, all it takes is one sin cherished in the heart, held on to sabotage a runner's soul in the race. Which is why this verse then goes on to say we are also to put away the sin which so easily ensnares or entangles us. You see, the idea here is of something that very stealthily, craftily wraps itself around us, which will trip us up, bring us down if it's not dealt with, and put away. For you see, it's speaking about a specific sin, or specific sins which each of us are more likely to fall prey to as individuals than some other sin or sins, because of our particular personality or character or circumstances. And it may well be lust or sensuality or pride or the love of money for some of you. For others of you, it may be jealousy, covetousness, anger that is the issue. For some of you, it may be dishonesty or criticism or negativity or laziness. We could go on and on and on. You see, these things will differ for all of us. But whatever they may be, we need to seek to identify these things and then get busy dealing with them by putting them to death through the power of the Holy Spirit. For remember, God is the one who's calling us to run this race and do these things. He's the one who knows the course, all of its twists and turns. My dear friend, He's not going to ask us to do anything then which cannot be done. You see, everything which God commands of us, He will also empower us to do. For don't forget, all of God's commands are also His promises. They are His enablements. And He won't withhold from us what we need then in this race, if we truly desire it and ask for it. But you see, we must be prepared to be ruthless when dealing with sin in our lives. For if we do want to be the kind of athlete God wants us to be, then every sin that He makes us conscious of in our lives, it has to be put away. And the question we have to honestly face then, as we are confronted with the demands of the gospel, is, are we doing so? Can we say with integrity before God, there is no unconfessed, unrepented of, unrepudiated sin in my life that I am aware of? Well, this opening verse of Hebrews chapter 12, it is a serious call to radical self-discipline in the life of every believer then. And we can choose to either ignore it, or we can take it seriously. The choice is our own. But if we are determined to run our race well, then we must be prepared to take to heart what is said here. For you see, God does business with those who mean business. And while discipline is the first prerequisite then, which is given here, determination is the second prerequisite which we need. We want to run well, finish the course marked out for us by God. For notice that we are called to run this race that is set before us with endurance. And that should be a very clear indication to us that this race is not a brief sprint. It's not a walk in the park. It's a long distance race. And therefore it demands determination and perseverance to complete it. And we must be in it for the long haul then. For just as a runner cannot afford to quit when the going gets tough, they start to feel their body aching and every muscle and tendon is crying out to call it a day. Well, so too we as Christians. We cannot afford to quit when we meet with hardships and difficulties along the way, which we surely will. For it is through many tribulations that we must finally enter the kingdom of God, as it says in Acts chapter 14. And the Christian life is not always easy then. It's not a bed of roses. Jesus never said it would be. He said the servant is not greater than his master. And if he suffered, we can expect that we're going to have to endure hardship as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And at times, you and I, we may be tempted to give up in this race. But you see, we must endure all the way to the end, just as the Lord Jesus did in running the race set before him. And he is our forerunner in this race then, as he's called in Hebrews chapter 6. And therefore, we must run with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that brings us to consider then, in the last place, the source of our continuing strength to go on running this race. If we are to persevere all the way to the end, until we do finally receive the victor's crown. If you see, the ultimate key to success in persevering in the Christian life, it is to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon Jesus at all times, because he's the only source and fountain of all of our spiritual vigor and stamina in this race, all that we need to make it in the Christian life. For you see, he himself is the author and finisher of our faith, the faith that we need to keep on pressing on in toward the mark set before us. The word author here, it literally means example or leader or originator of the faith. Because you see, Jesus is the supreme example of the faith that we need. But he's also the originator of our faith. And faith, friend, it comes from beholding the Lord Jesus then. It's a byproduct of steadily looking unto Jesus, the forerunner, who has already gone ahead of us to blaze the trail before us, to overcome every obstacle that lies in our way. And our faith then is not going to increase by looking to ourselves or our circumstances or to other people or whatever it may be. It will only grow as we turn our eyes away from everything else and we look to Jesus alone. Think of it like this. Suppose you needed to cross a footbridge somewhere, a bridge over a great river, and that river was in full flow. You've never crossed the bridge before, and you're feeling very uncertain about whether it's safe or not, whether it's going to hold you up or not. Well, in such a situation, you could do one of two things. You could stand on the banks of the river, just try to muster up enough courage to cross the bridge. You could try to make yourself believe that it's strong enough to support you, and then make a run for it and hope for the best. Or on the other hand, you could just simply look at the bridge and observe it. You could look at the strong materials it's made of, the steel, the concrete, and so forth. And you could see other people go over the bridge. And the more you look at the bridge, the more you observe it, then faith would be produced. It would be strengthened to commit yourself to going over it. And friends, that's how it is when it comes to running this race. Because you see, faith is produced and sustained in the heart of a child of God as a byproduct of keeping our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. And we entered this race then when we looked to Jesus. And we must continue in it by now going on to look to Jesus. For you see, it's in Him and in Him alone that all of the resources for running it are to be found. Because He's our strength. He's our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption, our peace, our life, our all. And without Him, we can do absolutely nothing. And that's why we're being told here then to look to Jesus by fixing our eyes on Him alone all the time. You see, the idea here, it's of looking away from everything else so that we can look intently and steadfastly to Jesus alone without distraction. For we're to have our eyes, for no one else but Jesus. Because you see, as Paul says in verse 2 of Romans chapter 2, if we fix our gaze on the world and the things of the world, we'll end up being conformed to its pattern and we'll rob ourselves of what we need in this race. But if we fix our gaze upon Jesus, we will find ourselves being more and more conformed into His image. For as Paul says in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, as we all with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, as by the Spirit of the Lord. And friends, what we gaze upon and are captivated by then will engross our hearts, and we will become like the object of our affections and our desires. And if we are taken up with worldly and fleshly desires, then they will only obscure our moral vision. They will keep us from seeing Jesus and savoring Him as we should. And my dear friend, in turn, they will render us unable to run this race like a champion to receive the victor's crown. You see, it's only as we look to Jesus, we are captivated by Him, that we will find His divine life and power released into our hearts and into our lives. And it's that life and that power alone which will enable us then to lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us, so that we can run this race with endurance. Because you see, it's only that power and life and a heart possessed by the glory of Christ which will give us the will to set these things aside in the first place. As I've said before, the most effective way to get a child to set aside something that is harmful or dangerous to its health and well-being, it's to show it something much better. Well, so it is for the Christian. It's only as we go on seeing and savoring the Lord Jesus, we allow our hearts to be possessed with the glory and beauty of Christ, that we will be empowered and animated and compelled to run our race to its triumphant finish. And child of God, here, turn your eyes upon Jesus then. Look full in His wonderful face. For it's then and only then that the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Well, we are to run the race of faith then until at last faith will give way to sight. So we finally see Jesus as He is, in all of His glory and splendor. For He is the finisher or perfecter of our faith. And as we continue to look to Him then, we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us, he will bring it to completion, and he will give us the crown of life, which he has promised to all those who love him and look for his appearing. Well, let us lay aside every weight then, the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us now run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you once again at the end of our service. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to meditate for a short while upon your word. And we do pray that all of us would see that we are in a race, that we will either finish the race well or we will fail to do so. And we pray that we would see it is only those who are in Jesus Christ who can possibly hope to endure to the end, to find the strength, the grace, the power that they need through the mighty working of his Spirit in and through them, to go forward, to endure to the end, to endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We do ask then, Lord, that our eyes would be firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus, the one who is the author and finisher of our faith, the forerunner who has already endured all things on our behalf, that the way might be opened up before us, that we might now run, that we might run well, that we might have all that we need for life and godliness, to run this race to its end, to cross the finish line, to enter into glory where he will crown us with a crown of life, where we will take our place among the redeemed family in heaven. And we await that glorious day when that family will be united as one and will live together in peace and harmony without any struggles or tears or sorrows or sadness. For you will wipe every tear from our eyes. You will reward all of the blood, sweat, and tears that we endured in the race. And we do pray then, Lord, that we would keep our eyes firmly fixed on the end goal, to be in with Christ, to be with him forevermore, to be like him. We pray that that would be our hope, that would be our desire, to see him as he is and to be like him in body, soul, and spirit. And we ask, Lord, you be with us throughout this week. You know our needs, you know our frailty, you know our circumstances, and yet it is in our very weakness that your strength is revealed and made known. And we pray then, Lord, we would glory in our infirmities, we would rejoice in our weakness, we would see that it is an opportunity. Man's extremity is always an opportunity for you to work, to show yourself strong on our behalf, to reveal your Son in us, through us. And we ask, Lord, that you would keep us then dependent upon you at all times and in all things. Bless us, hear us, be with us. Keep us in your fear, we ask. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.